It's just gone 16 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the respected listeners.
Well, we trust that you are well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How are you feeling and how are people at the Radio Islam?
Alhamdulillah. I just haven't seen you in a long time also. Marana, yesterday I believe you were at the Muslim AIDS program and you spoke about the youth. Maybe just some synopsis from there, Marana, and then we can continue with our program.
Well, basically, I was together with Mufti Mankin speaking for a fundraising effort of the Muslim AIDS program. I did say that we need to be investing in infrastructure. And when we are coming into Ramadan, we are really spending much of our charity. And while we do spend charities on masajid, madaris, which is important, there is no doubt whatsoever that to spend on deen is like as important as spending upon ourselves. But there is a very great need for us to spend on infrastructure, to be able to build a community, to be able to spend on human development, people who are disadvantaged because of sickness, because of circumstances, to be able to lift up people. There's a special joy that is gained by uplifting people. You know, you find people who are disadvantaged, people whose families are not so well off, and a person has, Allah has given him great amount of wealth. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Wa ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk." Be good to others the way Allah has been good to you. So if you have a skill, if you have a business, for example, you have a way of running a business. We know that in our country there is a great deal of people who are disadvantaged from the disenfranchised group. Why don't we share our skills? Teach them how to run businesses. Give them with regard to what we can do. You find a family that is not well off. Look after that family. You know, right up to the end of making their children independent with regard to knowledge or with regard to bursaries. So I think there's a great need for us to also channel our charity and our resources and our striving in terms of human development and community infrastructure. And of course, I was given the task of speaking about parenting. We spoke about the challenges of parenting, and I said basically there are four different types of parenting that today is in vogue, where one is laissez-faire, where a parent allows a child to do anything, whatever it wants. That is not something that is recommended in our Sharia. The other one is authoritarian, harsh, discipline. You just do what I say. I don't want to listen to you. You don't tell me anything. I'm the father, you just listen to what I'm saying. That sometimes works, apparently. It works for a short period of time, but sometimes it also creates rebellion or it creates deception. Then there's another method of parenting, which is known as appeasing. So you appease the child all the time. The child wants something, first you say no, then it cries, and then you give in, you all the time appeasing. And the fourth time is like a teacher child, a mentor, where you mentor your child through difficult situations. You negotiate, you become a negotiator away from what you were when you were a child. Now you become a negotiator. You speak, you tell him, okay, this is your limits, this you can't do, this. And that's the reality with regard to today's parenting, where it becomes very difficult with teenage children, how to be able to deal with them. So I stressed a little upon that. And then, of course, I did say, at the end of the day, Allah does place a responsibility upon parents of Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam.
MashaAllah, indeed. And that was the synopsis of yesterday's program. And Murana, after that, how long you spoke for, Murana? You are not there.
I was supposed to speak for half an hour, so then I was given the leeway to speak for another 15 or 20 minutes, so I think it ended off by being for 45 minutes.
MashaAllah, Murana, jazakumullah for that wonderful to hear. Murana, a quick recap of last week's discussion on our program. We are busy discussing chapter 20, People Are Like Minerals of the Earth, from the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Arifi.
Murana, wonderful, wonderful chapter and a topic. We find that he says, and he starts off with this hadith, which appears in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. And Tirmidhi had said it is Hasan Sahih, it's a Sahih hadith. Nabi Karim SAW said, Allah Ta'ala created Adam AS from a handful of dust taken from different lands. So the children of Adam AS have been created according to the composition of the land. Therefore, for mankind, we have people of different complexions. And just as we have people of different complexions, we have people of different temperaments. So now, how do you deal with people according to their temperaments? And temperaments is a reality. It affects people's views and decisions. For that reason, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade that a judge should pass a verdict when he's either thirsty, hungry, or even feeling the urge to answer the call of nature. So anyone who has any authority, he should not be giving decisions, not be meeting out discipline when he is thirsty, hungry, or even feeling the urge to answer the call of nature. Because he's going to make a mistake. Sometimes he's going to make a mistake with regard to how he deals with a matter. So I think it's very important. Then the author goes on to give examples of how our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people, and inshallah we will be continuing that. He gave a beautiful example, I think this is very beautifully to say. A teacher came into a new class and he saw someone smiling. He wanted to prove a point, so he rebuked that one child and he said, "You are laughing at me." "I'm not laughing." He said, "No, you are laughing." And he expelled him from the class, and the entire class was taken aback by this reaction, or to this first aspect with regard to the teacher, how he dealt with the situation. And thereafter a while, you know, I don't know, that was maybe the previous one with regard to the making a first impression, where he had made mention of was the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where a person had committed 99 murders, and after committing 99 murders, he went to a religious scholar and said, "I'm going to make Tawbah." And that person did not see his sincerity, and he told him that there is no Tawbah for you, and he killed that person, making it a century. And thereafter, he went to another one who was more compassionate, and he said, "Allah Ta'ala's doors of repentance are never closed. Go away from this area. You have committed so many murders here. It's a bad environment. It's pulling you in that direction. Go to an area where there is righteousness abounds." And he identified the place, and he directed this person in that direction. On the way, he died. And when he died, the two farishtas and angels came to claim his soul. The angels of goodness and the angels of who take the ruh and souls of the evil people. And they started competing. One said he had committed 100 murders. The other said no, he was on his way to go and reform and to make Tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was asked to make the decision. Allah ta'ala says, go and measure the distance. Go and measure the distance. Where the distance is closer, that is where you are going. That farishta will take the ruh. So if the distance is closer towards where he was committed evil, that is where his ruh is going to be taken by those farishtas. But if it is closer towards where he was going for reformation and tawbah, then those farishtas will take his ruh. And it was found to be closer towards the place where he was going for tawbah. And in that particular way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels of mercy to take. Here it shows how different people dealt with it according to their temperament and which was the correct method of dealing with it.
Yes, the lines are open. 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 0727861548, or message Manana Bam on his side 0837862859. Well, now we can start over today's discussion, and also a very amazing way of putting things across.
Definitely. I think it's very, very important that we try and put in. I think, you know, I must say that this book is a book that I've always had in my library but never had a chance to read it. And Mufti Rizvi from Sri Lanka, a very close friend, one day told me, he said, "Please, will you do this aspect of going and read this book? It is fascinating." And I must say, as I'm doing this as part of the series, and we are doing it on our social hour, I've been fascinated by this book. And not only fascinated by the way the author has put things forward, but one of the things that catches the imagination is how he has taken incidents from the seerah and how he has drawn lessons which he ties up with the chapter of the titles. So it's important. Annasu ma'adinun kama, people are like the minerals of the earth. Now, where do you find these examples from the seerah? And he has chosen the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's journey, and how he dealt with different people, And he said, see, الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة. People are like the minerals of the earth. Like gold and silver you find in the earth, people are also like that. Deal with them according to their temperaments. The way Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the composition of mankind, when Allah Ta'ala created Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, was from different lands, was from different soils, which made them different in complexion. It also made them different in temperaments. So deal with them. And then he gives this example of how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with different people in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Maulana, it is absolutely fascinating, as we will go on to explain.
Yes, and in this example, Maulana will explain that different people came to interact with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and each one the Prophet of Allah dealt differently. And what the author is trying to highlight is the Prophet of Allah has this mechanism within him to recognize people and their characteristics. He never used the same brush for everybody. He never treated everybody the same way. He recognized that everybody has something unique within them. And what is that unique thing that I can pick up on and use it to my strength? Maulana will go into this incident, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana. Now, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, now this one particular aspect, he said he spoke about Abu Sufyan. Now, this was not at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. This was at the time of the conquest of Makkah. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let us just understand very briefly. I'm going to give you the context, and then people can understand the lessons from the incident. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi told everyone they must keep the visit and the conquest secret. So the first time the people of Makkah came to know that the Muslims have come to conquer Makkah because they had broken the peace treaty was when they saw massive fires outside Makkah. So Abbas radiallahu anhu had some indication, because Abbas radiallahu anhu had become a Muslim, but he was stationed by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam strategically in Makkah. And he took Abu Sufyan, and when he saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Muslim army. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then to show, because at that time there was still hostility, Makkah was not conquered, and there was still a degree of hostility with regard to the whole situation. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told the different battalions of the Muslim army to make a march pass, what we would say a march, across Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the enemies at the time. And when the first armies, the first battalions, one by one began to pass by him, when he saw the first battalion, he said, who are they? Then Abbas radiallahu anhu said...
Mana? Yes. Are we perhaps looking at Hudaybiyah or Fath Makkah, which
I
we covered last?
Yeah, I said it is. I did make mention of it before.
Jee.
I did say that normally the other examples are from Hudaybiyah, but this happened in Fath Makkah.
Jee, Mulam.
When Abbas radiallahu anhu said, who is it? He said, Sulaim. And he said, what have I got to do with Sulaim? So in the second battalion passed, he said, who are they? They're from the tribe of Muzaynah. And each time a different battalion passed, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu asked the same question and made the same statement in response to Abbas radiallahu anhu, until when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, surrounded with the Muhajireen and the Ansar. Their bodies were covered with shield, and nothing could be seen of their bodies except their eyes. So there was a show of strength in front of Abbas, who was the enemy. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came past Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan exclaimed, who are these people? And Abbas said, these are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Muhajireen and Ansar. And he said, this is the army of death. By Allah, nobody can even challenge this army. And then he said, by Allah, O Abu al-Fadl, your nephew's kingdom has expanded. Your nephew has become a very great king. And Abu Sufyan replied, it's not kingdom, it is prophethood. It is nabuwat, which is even more greater than kingdom. And Abu Sufyan said, definitely. And then after that, whatever happened, there's a very, you know, but one aspect that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after showing Abu Sufyan the strength, and then he said, whoever shuts himself in his house is safe. Whoever seeks refuge in the mosque is also safe. And then Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Sufyan is a man of honor. He's a leader of the Quraysh. Take into account his situation and give him some recognition. And when you give him recognition, he will become pleased and he will go back to the people of Makkah and tell them, it's not worthy of fighting this group, and you will be able to conquer Makkah relatively more peaceful than when he goes and say, we must go and fight. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood this, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam added, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan would be safe. The point of the whole incident is this, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that Abu Sufyan was a leader of the Quraysh. They were in hostility. Now he had come and seen the strength of the Muslims. He is going to go back to his people. What does he tell them? And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him recognition and say that this person, whoever enters into his house, will be safe. So Abu Sufyan gets recognition and he goes back and tells the people of Makkah, don't deal with this army. You would not be able to defeat. Let them conquer. And whoever goes in these three places will be safe, either in your own house, either in the house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or either in my house. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood his desire for recognition, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to him.
Subhanallah. And Mulana, he did not play the selfish card here. Like, no, listen, I'm in charge and we are going for a very important occasion. We are going to conquer Makkatul Mukarramah. It is the pinnacle in our mission. And at this time, we can't let positions get in the way. And I am the man in charge, and I've been waiting for this moment. You can't come and steal my seat or my limelight or my show. So I'm not going to let anybody get a share of my pie or my cake at the moment. But the Prophet of Allah is so understanding. He's got such a delicate moment of conquering the place, and at the same time, he needs to conquer the heart of Abu Sufyan also, Mawlana, and how he manages to do both.
Mawlana, it's so amazing, because many a times, many of the personality clashes that happen in our community, in our society, in our masajid, is based on this. No one wants to give another person recognition. But if someone has got certain degree of influence, and you make him, they say in Gujarati, motto, mata, manas, banawi karwano, make him a little bit big. If by making him a little bit big, giving him recognition, the matter is solved. What does it harm you? What does it harm you? The Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized Abu Sufyan's desire for recognition and gave him that position. And look at what great benefit that came the next day. Besides sporadic resistance, Makkah was conquered relatively peacefully. Now this is how you look and understand the nature of a person and you deal with him.
Amazing. 011-854-1548.
It's interesting to find out how a person, or in our business, in our marital life, in our social life, we have been able to interact with people and we have changed according to the temperament of that person and how it has become a better relationship.
Subhanallah. And how the Prophet of Allah was so accommodating. And Mala, is that, yeah, Abu Sufyan, one is to become a Muslim, but after that for him to remain a Muslim also. So how the Prophet of Allah kept him into the fold of Islam even after him passing away by giving him that recognition.
And not only him, I mean the people who became Muslims at that time, who became relatively Muslims later on compared to the earlier Sahaba. And we know Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said that the people who became earlier Muslims have a sense of superiority and greater status than those who became Muslims later on. But many of them were very influential people who took long to accept the beauty and the truth of Islam. But Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not in any way discriminate against them. So you found that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was made the leader many a times. Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala was very well known in terms of his administrative capacity. And immediately Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to send him as a head of an army. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said, you people came into Islam late, you people were so many years against me, you fought so many wars against me, I'm not going to give you any recognition. But Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed them in such a way that they became the flag bearers of Islam. So Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu became Muslim later on, and when he became a Muslim later on, he was to become the conqueror of Egypt. Look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed it. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, yes, was against Muslims and Islam in the earlier stages. He became Saifullah, the sword of Almighty Allah. How? By Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understanding him, understanding his temperament and dealing with it accordingly.
Mullah, you mentioned a very important point, the clash of souls, and many times that's one of the ultimate reasons why many great organizations and companies come down, because of the clash of souls. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet of Allah such sublime conduct that he was able to conquer their souls, and not just souls, but nations after nations. And the reason why we say it's an achievement, because for an ordinary person to bring Islam, you can understand. He's got no ulterior motives, he's got no position, no recognition, no acknowledgement that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But for a person who's got status, a person who's got honor and ranking in his own people, and then for him to forgo all that and to become a Muslim, is a real challenge on his behalf, and then for the Muslims to accept him and give him recognition is also another challenge on its own.
A very, very great thing. And both, yes. It requires broadness of heart on behalf of the Muslims to accommodate them. There were certain situations in which there was certain degree of dissatisfaction. The Ansar expressed dissatisfaction when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the conquest of Makkah, gave great amount of wealth to the people who had really newly reverted to Islam, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not brush aside their concerns. He called them in, he spoke to them, and he made them realize that what I'm giving you is even greater than what I'm giving them. I'm only giving them material things, but you are coming back and you are going back with me, who is more important than your material things. I haven't given you material things. It's not because I do not regard you as significant or honorable. It's because I regard you as significant and honorable. I haven't given you material things. On this basis, you are strong in iman. You don't need material things to keep you on strength on iman.
Mm.
You don't need material things for you to be steadfast upon iman. Look at the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them. So I think it's a remarkable lesson in the seerah. And then, of course, during the course of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, many other beautiful ways of dealing with people came to the fore,
which we will, inshallah, look at after this commercial break. And as they say, Murala, sahih mano mein fatih wo hai jo dilo ko jeete na ke mulk aur jang ko. Let's go for a quick commercial break. When we return, we'll continue. It is a social program of Maulana Ibrahim Baum, and we are discussing chapter 20 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Arifi, and the chapter is about that people are like the minerals of the earth, basically discussing that everybody is unique in their own way. And the next incident is a very, very fascinating one, which Maulana will take us through. It's about Hudaybiyah. Maulana?
With various people in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is fascinating. So initially, the Quraysh came and they sent Miqras bin Hafs. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Hudaybiyah with the intention of making Umrah. The amount of weapons they had were also minimal. They came with animals which were marked for sacrifice in the Haram. So people could say they haven't come for war, they have come to make Umrah. The people of Quraysh prided themselves that we were the custodians of the Haram, despite the evil worship, the idol worshipping, etc. And they took it as a slight. And they took it as someone condemning them if they said that you haven't allowed us to come to the Haram. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made all the necessary means to say that we haven't come to war, we have come for Umrah. So the first person whom they sent was Miqras bin Hafs. Now, Miqras bin Hafs didn't have a good reputation.
Mm.
When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him approaching, he said, he's a treacherous person. When he came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to him the way he deserved and informed him, we have not come to fight, we have only come to perform Umrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not sign any agreement with him, as he knew that he was a person who does not keep his promises.
Mm.
Miqras returned to Quraysh without any result. Now look at how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with him. He knew that from his background and from what people have been saying, Miqras is not a person of integrity. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not give him too much, what we will say, leave. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not speak to him too much, did not sign an agreement with him, because he knew his background. He dealt with him according to what was known about him and what was his situation. Then they sent another person by the name of Khulais or Halis bin Alqama. Now, amazingly, Halis bin Alqama was from Africa. There was a group of people from Africa who resided in Makkah Mukarramah, and they used to be known as Ahbash, the people from Africa. So, Khulais was their leader. So, when he came, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that Hulais and the people of the Ahbash, the African people in Makkah Mukarrama, they have great respect for animals which have been marked to be slaughtered in the Haram. So what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, when he comes, put all of those animals right in front of him. There was a special marking of those animals, that they have to be slaughtered in the Haram. And we have come with those animals, and shows that our intention is not to fight, it is to make Umrah. So when Hulais saw this, he was so taken aback, you know. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with him accordingly, and he went back to the Quraysh, and he kicked up a big row and said, we have always prided ourselves that we never stop anyone from coming to the Haram. These people have come for Umrah. I have seen the animals. And because he had a great amount of sanctity for those animals, he came and he complained and he made a big noise with the Quraysh and said, you cannot stop these people from coming to the Haram. They have come for Umrah. I have seen the animals. Now look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with Miqraz bin Afs, who was known for his treachery. And look at how he dealt with Hulais bin Alqama, because he knew that he has great amount of sanctity for the animals who come to the Haram. And he went back and he told the people of Makkah, you are wrong. So when he went there, the people of Makkah changed their whole stance. So they said, okay, that's the situation. Now we have to send people who are known for the negotiating skills to go and negotiate with the Muslims. So who did they send? Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Although he was not from Makkah, he was from a nearby town, Taif, but he used to represent. In many ways, we will say, in today's parlance, he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs. He was the Minister of Foreign Affairs for the Quraysh. He used to be the diplomat. So they sent Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi now to go and speak to the Muslims. Subhanallah, how he dealt with Miqraz, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with Hulais bin Alqama. Volumes for us to learn with regard to how to deal with people.
Amazing indeed. And look, picking up on the first one, sometimes you think that if you're a pious person, you can't be harsh, you can't use stern words, you must always be soft. But here the Prophet of Allah is showing that this man opposite is not a palatable, he's not going to be easy, and he's going to be a difficult person. If you're going to be soft with him, he's going to eat you up. So rather be also stern with him. And so the Prophet of Allah dealt with him accordingly. And the reason why I make this point, Mulana, is that sometimes you think that, no, as a Mulana, he mustn't be angry. He's human also, and he will also deal with people according to other people's temperaments.
Yes, definitely. Now, you know, it's amazing, and it's true. And sometimes, and one important point our ulama have mentioned, that if it is known about a person that he is not very, honest in his business dealings, you don't have to form a judgment about him. Judgment can only be formed if there is evidence with regard to it, but you can take precaution.
Indeed. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, 072-786-1548. We can continue, Murana.
Well, I'm wondering, is this something to do with people understanding or just enjoying the incidents?
It's
boring to them, I don't know.
It's quite in-depth, Murana.
So it would be nice if people could just give us an indication with regard to how they're finding it. Is it something that is understandable, or is it beyond understanding, or are we going too much in depth? Look, I think it's quite easy. I find it fascinating, and I hope in my explanation I have been able to share the fascination which I have greeted this beautiful type of incidents.
It's really fascinating. I mean, like, if the mother-in-law can say, I just like how you fold it, purr. And that samosa, it's so nice. That daughter-in-law will smile and go to sleep.
Yeah, just deal with them. Deal with them according to how they are. I mean, your daughter-in-law or your mother-in-law, you come into a different relationship, they're not going to be what you are accustomed to. Deal with them according to what they are. MashaAllah.
That's amazing. So maybe they're just enjoying the discussion.
So maybe they're just enjoying all the incidents. Anyway, now let us look at Urwa bin Mas'ud. He comes. He was a leader amongst his people who was most honored and respected. He went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that particular way, you know, he started first by giving certain threats. We have gathered all these people and returned to your birthplace. The Quraysh have come out and pledged to Allah that you will not enter Makkah by force against their will. But Allah, all these people around you may well desert you. When he said these things, Sahaba were enraged. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became so enraged. He said such a statement that I can't even make mention of that statement. And he took out his sword. And he said, you dare ever say that we will desert the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you know, this particular aspect happened, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked, he didn't know, he said, who is this? This is Abu Bakr. And he said, had it not been for a favor you gave to me, which I had not been able to repay, I would have given you a similar response to what you had told me in your speech. Now look at the honor of the Quraysh. You showed me a favor, I was unable to return that favor, therefore I'm afraid of responding to your speech. What? Despite the kufr, look at a sense of honor. You did something good to me, I was unable to repay you. So therefore I'm very, very hesitant to reply and be rude to you. And then as he was, then he became more protective, and he became more careful, and he caught the beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he was catching the beard of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to bring his hand closer to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amazingly, Mughira bin Shu'bah could not take this person who was a negotiator, who was not a Muslim at that time. Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, you know, incident is even more amazing how he became a Muslim, but that's for another time. Here we tell you how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with Urwa. And Mughira bin Shu'bah said, you know, what are you? Draw back your hand from the face of the Messenger of Allah before you lose your faith, your hand. I will cut your hand off. How dare you deal with the Nabi of Allah in this way? And Urwa said, how cruel and coarse you are. Who is this, O Muhammad? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is your nephew, Mughira bin Shu'bah al-Thaqafi. And Mughira bin Shu'bah had covered himself because he was now the bodyguard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah. And he couldn't make him out. And previously, Mughira had committed, in days of ignorance, had committed a murder. And when he committed a murder, Urwa bin Mas'ud then paid the blood money on behalf of Mughira. So he said, you do this, you traitor, it was only yesterday that I washed away your treachery. You know, only yesterday I helped you out of by paying blood money for what you had done. And now you are treating me like this. And then anyway, whatever happened, Urwa bin Mas'ud, when he came back, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he was the first negotiator, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to impress upon him that if you feel that you are going to stop us by force, then remember, I have people who are prepared to die for my sake and for the sake of the deen of Allah. So Urwa bin Mas'ud went back and he got that. And what did he say? He told the people, he said, I have been as your envoy to various places, but I have never ever seen people who are as loyal to their leader the way I have seen the Sahaba being loyal to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just imagine what a demonstration of the Prophet's recognition of different personalities and the correct approach of dealing with each individual based on his personal merit and individuality. Subhanallah.
Interesting indeed. Mulana, here's a message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum. I'm really enjoying the program. Alhamdulillah, keep up the wonderful work. This is from Sister Aisha.
MashaAllah. Someone has also said, enjoying the discussion, listening attentively. Someone has said that, Mama, you have done such a thing that you have made me realize that there is an incident which is happening, and this particular, what you have said, fits that incident perfectly. SubhanAllah. Speaking about some sort of power struggle that is happening, and if only people could realize the example of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, indeed. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 0727-86-1548.
The author says two very, very beautiful things.
Yeah.
And we are coming to the end of the program, so I don't know, I don't want to add another week on this program. We have done 2 weeks. But it's something that I would just like to go through. One is, he said that how people react differently. So he said that he himself, I was giving a Friday sermon in which I made mention of the assassination of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I looked at the faces of people and I found different reactions. I saw people who were indifferent. I saw people who were listening attentively as it was a matter of historical interest. And I saw people who were crying and weeping. And he said, I clearly showed that, listen, here in one gathering of minds, I'm speaking about an emotional incident and how people react differently. You know, so that is one aspect. And then a very important question he asks at the end of the chapter. So what we are saying is, recognize people's temperament. And understand the question very importantly. Recognize people's temperament and change your personality to suit that of the one you are interacting with? Just repeat the question. Is it possible to change your personality to suit that of the one you are interacting with? We gave you examples of how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that. And he's asking the question, is it possible? And I would ask everyone, is this possible? Is it possible for you to change your manner to accommodate the other people? It's a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but is it possible? And he gave this very, very beautiful example, and he said, yes, it is possible. He said, Umar radiallahu anhu was known for his strong personality. One day a man had a dispute with his wife and came to Umar radiallahu anhu to ask him for advice on how to deal with his wife. When he stood at Umar radiallahu anhu's door and was about to knock, he heard what many a times happens in many homes. And the wife was screaming at Umar. The wife was screaming and shouting at Umar, while Umar remained silent. He neither shouted back, neither rebuked, and he kept silent. Was the wife always has the last say in an argument, whatever the husband says after the beginning of another argument. So Umar kept quiet. And this man was amazed, and he turned back to leave. And Umar heard a noise at the door, and he went out and saw this person leaving. So he said, what have you come here for? You have come here, you came to my door, you heard something, you went away. So he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I came to you to complain about my wife. I saw your situation, I said, we're both in the same boat. I heard your wife shouting at you. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, she is my wife who shares my bed with me, makes my food, washes my clothes, looks after my home, looks after the domestic responsibility. Shall I not be patient with her? For some people, there is no solution, and with them, one must remain patient. A person may complain to me about his father's anger or his wife's situation and so on. I would suggest a few solutions only to hear he has tried all of them and has no success. What then is the solution? The solution is that one should remain patient with such people and try to ignore their bad traits in light of their virtues. They should try to accommodate them however much they can. For some problems, simply do not have a solution. And then you use the mantik or logic of Umar radiallahu anhu that you cannot all the time always answer the wife. How he said so beautifully, okay, she's shouting at me, she might have a reason to shout, but look at the benefit that I've gained from her. And because of the benefit I've gained from her, I overlook some of her shortcomings to concentrate and focus on her good points. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ says Allah in the Quran, be good to your spouses. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ if you dislike one of their traits, فَأَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا perhaps you dislike one of their traits, and Allah has kept many other good qualities in her.
And that's the nature of life. We can't get it all in one. It's just not definitely possible to get a flawless 100% pure gold person in this world. It's just not possible. And that is why we are, the Prophet of Allah has been pragmatic about things. And he's saying, look at the good and try to ignore the bad. And it's amazing, Mulana, the author acknowledges that some people you can't change.
Sometimes you do whatever you need to do, and certain people you come just to understand their temperament. But the point that he has made, is it possible for you to change your attitude? For you to change your personality? For you to change your ways to accommodate another person? And he gave his example. Umar was known for his strong personality, but he subdued his strong personality when he dealt with his wife. So what a great lesson that if Umar could do it, subduing his strong personality, then surely we can also do it.
Surely indeed. Mullah, jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated.
Jazakumullah.
And we hope to continue next week, inshallah, with another chapter. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
10 o'clock, time for the bulletin.